It is now a little over 1 year since we met in person in a group class, so I'm happy to report that an opportunity presented itself for a class reunion, and I have accepted. The time will be the weekend of July 26th, that's a Friday night, the Saturday, which is the 27th, and the Sunday, which is the 28th. Those 3 days, the night of the 26th and the day and night of the 27th and the day of the 26th. I think there might be 5 or 6 meetings, classes, during that weekend retreat, and it will take place in Boulder Creek, California, approximately 4 miles out of Boulder Creek, at a place called Sartori. That's about 9 or 10 miles out of Ben Lomond, for those of you who are not in that area, so that you have a point of contact. For instance, if you're coming down from Oregon, it would be above Santa Cruz and right 9 or 10 miles out of Ben Lomond. Anyway, the event looks to me as an opportunity to renew our spiritual ties in person, and there will be an announcement coming to you from Richard Ireland. Richard has worked it out with Lance Pitts, and Gordon Ireland has been there to check out the area, and they feel it's a perfect place for this retreat. So we're going to do that in late July for 1 night and 2 days, and I think it might be an opportunity for all of us to touch all our bases together. It will be the first meeting since our breakup of Immortality House in San Francisco, and it will be the first and only meeting that I know of for the entire year of 1974. So if you can and find it convenient and important for you to be there, we look forward to these precious hours shared together at that time. Now, for those of you who are purists, who want every important detail, there's just one minor point still missing, and that is the Moses-Elijah appearance in the Mount of Transfiguration experience. And just to put it in briefly so that you can become aware of the amazing manner in which Spirit fulfills every possible area of activity, the significance is this, that when John, Peter, and James in you are united, those qualities in you are seeking only the Spirit, then Moses and Elijah in you are united. So that Moses, the lawgiver, or the truth, is united with Elijah, the Spirit, the I Am of you. And the mystical marriage of Moses and Elijah in you makes possible the appearance in the outer of the divine image. And that's why Jesus is out there as a divine image. Moses and Elijah in him have been united. And that is what the disciples witnessed in their mountain of consciousness. Now there are two sides to this coin. Once we have seen what truth is, that the Spirit of God is the light of your being, and you are looking out at everything but that light, then you realize that the transfiguration experience brought to us in the four Gospels is also a revelation of the hypnosis of mankind. It is a cosmic hypnosis. With our senses, we experience what isn't there. In the Transfiguration, there are no heart and no lungs. When Peter and James and John come down from their high consciousness, they see the man again. They see the body. They see the hands and the arms. But they're not there. Jesus is never there except to the limited human vision. When we rise up in our vision, Jesus is transfigured. Jesus disappears. The heart and the lungs disappear. And this is a command to accept that where you stand, there is no heart, no lung, no physical self. It must be transfigured. That is the cosmic hypnosis, the physical you. As human beings living in senses, we see what is not there and we live in this nothingness. We see eye, hand, foot. We experience breathing. And we reach out to attain and to possess this nothingness. We learn to fear the nothingness. The simple fact is that we see nothing as it is, that each day we live in the dream. Our mind is actually controlled, brainwashed, enslaved. It cannot see what is there, and the light is all that is there. So we are actually the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the sick, the suffering, and that is what we see. We see these effects in time and in space. And we live in these dying bodies. We live in the second chapter of Genesis. And we make human plans. We're dead to the light, dead to God, dead to reality, dead to self. And so we see the opposites. We see organs, bodies. We see this world. We do not know that the master hypnotist is the world mind. We see matter, material limitations, material powers, material lives. Everywhere we see our own false concepts, the lies about God, about man, and about self. We see many selves. And on the basis of our false senses, we make judgments and we make assumptions. And then we act on those assumptions. We react to these moving images, these moving concepts in our mind, and we live day by day in this non-creation, following our false guide. We think we're incomplete. We see our finite lifespan. We see opposing forces. We see imperfections. And we are wasting our substance. We are fearing that which is not happening. We are separated from our own life stream, our own self, our own divinity. Struggling for temporary things. And now we must come to the realization that as human beings we are disciples of the devil mind. We are glorifying the world mind and not God. We are victimized by our own ignorance, surrendering to false powers, relying on human authorities and false prophets, distorting, finitizing, misjudging, bottling up the Spirit of God, the infinite self. We are not seeing God. And we are assuming that God is not being God. We are assuming that God is permitting evils, murders, arson, rape, the whole list of diseases. What is all this telling us? That unless you are living in the kingdom of light, you are living outside the kingdom. The human race, of which we have considered ourselves a member, is not living in the kingdom. We are all living outside the kingdom of God. We are pyramiding our errors. We are not experiencing reality. And we are trying to do what already is done, what already is finished. We are surrendering ourselves to death, to evil, to error. We are not experiencing divine power, divine law, divine life, divine perfection, which is ever present, ever at work. We are not experiencing the perfect kingdom of light, which is here. From a psychological standpoint, we learn to live defensively. We build everything on our false assumptions, and we live in contradictions. We develop a fear psychology, an incompleteness, a misidentification of everything around us, even our loved ones. We live outside divine law, divine intelligence, divine life. We accept untruth, unreality. We deny God's power and God's presence. We pretend we love God supremely. We assume God has left us alone. We judge unrighteously after the flesh, after the appearance, and then we react to those false judgments, even hoping for a better world tomorrow while we deny God today. We worship false gods. We worship things. We do not experience, see, or understand the presence of unlimited energy, unlimited abundance, unlimited health, unlimited life, unlimited prosperity, unlimited joy, because we do not know the light of God is our being. On this ignorance, we build our false life patterns. And we're even afraid to come out of this cosmic hypnosis into our own immortal selfhood, unwilling to be one of the 12. And so we drift. We float in time. And we wonder why we cannot find the way. It is our clinging to this false sense of life because we had not yet developed a real faith. But on transfiguration, Christ reveals the secret of a real faith, a faith to release mortal sense of body and of world. You remember the transfiguration. Do you remember what was said before it? I'll read it to you. This is chapter 16 of Matthew, just before chapter 17 where the transfiguration occurs. Here in chapter 16, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," before the transfiguration, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Then he later revealed himself as the invisible light. "Follow me into the light of your being. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." If you try to hold on to your material sense of life, you will lose it. You know that. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." If you are willing to lose your material sense of life and accept yourself as the spiritual light of God, for my sake, you shall find it. The entire chapter 6 of Joel's new book is just about that subject, from personal sense to spiritual awareness. It's really the whole last tape we had about accept your divinity. That is the command of the Christ. Transfiguration is not an event to say, "Oh, I understand it." It is a command to follow me, to live in the universe of God, not outside. Now is the command to live in the finished kingdom of God. That is what transfiguration has been saying to us. Now, this is the way, walk ye in it. Live now in the finished kingdom. Because now, knowing you are the light, you have the substance from which you can build your faith. Build your faith on that. Then it will not be an empty faith, a wavering faith, a faith that is a straw in the wind. It will be a faith based on who you are, who the universe is. It is the living light of God. The one invisible light, the one invisible being is the substance of all. The living light of God is the substance of every form you see. Build your faith on that and live in the finished kingdom of light. But remember this, and that is why we have stressed the cosmic hypnosis, the brainwashing, the controlled human mind. You cannot do it by living in your mind. You must live above mind, beyond mind. You must live by a faith that passeth understanding in order to achieve the peace that passeth understanding. And that new kind of faith, based on knowledge, has been provided to you by the Spirit of God. This is a deep, a total faith that the finished kingdom of God is here now. And this is the meaning of lay down your life. Live now in God's world. not outside. And to do this, you must live outside the mental kingdom, the mental universe, outside of the sleep of non-reality. That is how you can be one of the 12 and one of the 70 and one of the 70 more who went forth. Because they knew their names were writ in heaven. If you know that the kingdom of God is here, if this is your faith, is there any other way that you can live now? Is this not the challenge that we have really failed to accept? Isn't this the real opportunity? Live now in the light of being, and you are living in the finished kingdom. This is a conscious, continuous act. It is really a new way to live. Peter was trying to tell us that. In his second letter, the second epistle of Peter, he was telling us to live in the finished kingdom of God on earth. Only he didn't phrase it in such a way that we could define it that way as clearly as we are now beginning to understand it. He starts out his epistle with that statement. I think I have it here. The second epistle of Peter, the very first chapter, the very second verse. First epistle, second epistle. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust, in its broadest sense, is material sense, the belief in matter, and therefore the desire to function as matter, to possess matter, to experience the sensations of matter. All of this is part of the meaning of lust. To be partakers of the divine nature is to live in the finished kingdom of God. Here's one from Joel, page 62 of the new book. There is but one world. The moment we have transcended the personal sense of I, there is no more abundance or lack. There is only allness, infinity, completeness. Now this one world that we enter as we transcend the personal sense is the finished kingdom. Well, where is it? It's right here, isn't it? John 3:2. We hear the voice of Jesus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, how are you going to see the kingdom of God if it isn't here? And if you're to be reborn here, this kingdom of God must be here to be seen. Again, he's telling us there is a finished kingdom of God. In Luke, to the 70, he said, rejoice. Your names are written in heaven. And he told them, when you heal the sick, say unto them, and listen to this, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He was telling them, the only reason you've been healed is because we have revealed to you the finished kingdom of God, where no healing is necessary. When the finished kingdom of God is revealed to you, you are no longer sick, suffering, lacking, limited. There is none of that in the finished kingdom of God, present here as the invisible light. In Luke 10:21, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. The wise and the prudent, the intellect, the mind of man with its many cautions, its personal brilliance, it cannot find the invisible finished kingdom of God But it is revealed unto the babes, those without concepts, unconditioned, those who hunger and thirst for truth alone, not self-glory, not personal triumph. Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand. The finished kingdom is here. Repent. Well, that's all that transfiguration was all about. To change your consciousness from the belief that you walk as a physical mortal in a physical world. And the moment you accept that you are the light of God, the living, infinite light of God here and now, and live as that light, you have repented, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10:1, 5, and 7. Again, the repetition, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why do we find this constant repetition? So that we will learn to live in the finished kingdom of God instead of in the senses, out of the sense mind. Always we are being told again and again and again, where you stand is holy ground. 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go unto the way of the Gentiles and into every city, into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I think we are those lost sheep. All of us who seek the truth are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where is it? Where is that hand? Around the corner? Up in the sky? Down in hell? At hand is here. At hand is now. At hand is the light of your being. That is how we worship. That is the kingdom of God within you. That is the Father within. The light of your being. So this becomes our new faith. This is our active faith. The light of God is my being, and I walk now not in this world. This world is not here. The light of God is here. The light of God is the finished kingdom of God here. And I place my consciousness in that invisible finished kingdom of light. That is where I live, act, breathe, have my being. And that is where I place my trust. It is. It is functioning. It is the law. It is the power. It is doing all that it must do right now. And that which the human mind sees, controlled by the world mind, is not my concern one whit. I am not looking for signs. Not looking for effects to prove anything. Not looking for fruitage. Take away those stones. I won't convert them to bread. I am the light now. I am the fruitage. I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am walking in the finished kingdom of light. There is no other on this earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. What else is there but the invisible kingdom of God? It is working. It is here. That's your faith. We accept not what the senses report, not the appearances, not the judgment of the senses. We accept the presence of the invisible kingdom of God here in all its glorious perfection, and this is where we walk. Now is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. We are living the Lord's Prayer as a fact, not a statement of word. And that leads us to the knowledge of one and only one invisible kingdom without opposite. I am looking at the kingdom of light with eyes that do not see it, but that does not remove it. It is here. When Jesus disappeared, it was because the disciples were privileged to witness the invisible kingdom, which is finished and present and functioning. And in it, they saw no sickness, no death, no imperfection. They even saw two men who allegedly had died, but they were living. Right here in the finished, infinite, invisible kingdom of God is the living life of everyone who has walked this earth. There is no dead person in the finished kingdom. There has been no death ever in the kingdom of God. There is no one to grieve for. There is only the one life, and everyone you have known through every incarnation is now that one invisible life. We have, you might say, entered into the quickened kingdom of the soul, out of the controlled mind, out of the image universe, out of the world of effects. We learn to live consciously in the finished kingdom of cause, of dominion, of source, before the world was, before time. And we will know we are doing this successfully when we stop trying to improve, but instead we leave this world. Let's take a peek here at Hebrews now and see about the great faith that was spoken of in Paul's letter. That faith has a different meaning when you know exactly what was on his mind. Abraham's faith, Sarah's faith, what was that about? They were willing to trust the invisible kingdom of light to be functioning. Yes, I can give up my son. Why? Because I do not accept this visible image. My son is the invisible light of God. How are you going to kill it? Yes, I can have a child past the age of 60. Why? Because the invisible light can birth itself. And that is what is all involved here. Do you have the faith in the power of the light to continue to be the light? And that no man can push it aside. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When you walk in the visible world, knowing that you are really in the invisible, perfect kingdom of God, you are reconciling this world. And it's something like a singer. A singer wants to sing a song, and the pianist says, oh, what key do you sing in? Well, I sing in the key of C or whatever. And then the pianist transposes the notes to make it in the key for the singer. You have to look at this world of appearances and transpose it. What's the difference what you see? You're always going to look out and see Jesus, but he's not there. The disciples were seeing Jesus every day for 3 years, but he wasn't there. In high consciousness, they transposed. You must do this consciously. That's the purpose of teaching you transfiguration. You must transfigure the world around you. You do not accept it as it comes to you. You transpose keys. You transfigure. You reconcile. And then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are reconciled to God. We are in Christ consciousness. We're not even living between two worlds. We're living in the one world, and that which appears in this world is simply the effect of our consciousness made visible. Again, let's look at Hebrews 11:1. And there we are told about our invisible body, I believe. Faith, says Paul, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The invisible, which is present, is what we have faith in. We have faith in our invisible body of pure light. We have faith that this invisible body of pure light is infinite, and therefore, we have faith that we are walking in the invisible finished kingdom now. Can you do this? Can you try? Can you drop personal sense to live in the kingdom now? Can you come out of these atomic images of the mind into the light, into the spirit, out of a personal you, out of an image person, into livingness, into I am living spirit, not a man of the world, not a woman of the world, not a human, not the natural man who receiveth not the things of God? Can you rise above the control of the world mind? Can you see that the light of you is before Abraham, before flesh? That the light of you is from above? The light of you is immortal? Can you see that the mind cannot see this, and therefore you must live above the sense mind which lies about yourself? I am the harvest. I am the finished kingdom, which has been white to harvest forever. And now I have faith to accept what is here and not to wait for it to come tomorrow. You see what the difference is when you live in the finished kingdom? You're not waiting. You're not saying tomorrow will be better, tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll attain something. You're accepting it. Consciously, you're living in it. You're redeeming every single second of your life. You're transposing keys. You're transfiguring the appearances. And you make a point of doing it. You don't sit there passively and say everything's going to take care of itself. No, because the cosmic mind is ever working. And you must work hitherto. You must pray without ceasing. You must consciously know that only the finished kingdom of God is here, and therefore every appearance that belies that truth must be met instantly, consciously, continuously. Before it takes you into this world, you must live in your invisible kingdom. Now, as it is the completeness of the faith, it says, I am complete now. I lack nothing now. What can I lack if I am in the finished kingdom of God? Lack is a statement that I am not in the finished kingdom. I cannot accept that. Struggle is a statement that I am not in the finished kingdom. Everything that says I am not in the finished kingdom is a lie. What do I do about it? I place my consciousness in the constant awareness that I am in the finished kingdom of God, and I'm working two things now. I am the light. I am in the finished kingdom of God, which is the light. And there is one light. Each side of my consciousness is accepting the light of my being, the finished kingdom of light present. I'm out of persons, I'm out of things, I'm out of effects, I'm out of false powers, false causes. I can look at that which threatens me and say, who art thou? Did God place you here? How can you exist in the finished kingdom of light? Is there another? There is no other. Then what are you? You're nothing pretending to be something. And no matter what you say or do or threaten or how you think you are hurting me, I feel no pain. I feel no doubt. I feel no fear. Why? Because this is God's perfect universe. There is one universe of the Spirit of God under perfect divine law. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And therefore, that which fears or doubts or feels pain is a reminder that I have not left the false sense of self, but am lingering in a personal me which does not exist. You see that? There is no pain in the light, no fear in the light, no doubt in the light. And if I feel these things, I am not accepting that I am the light. Conversely, if I accept that I am the light, I must look at fear, pain, doubt, struggle, and all of the human inventory of frustrations as non-existent in myself, and therefore they do not belong to me. And that is the meaning of transition from personal sense to spiritual being. Listen to a few quotes from that sixth chapter of Job's. As long as you judge by appearances, as long as you see and believe in good and evil, you're not under the law of God. It's not only evil, but you can't even believe in good, because the use of the word good is, you might say, the belief that there is also something other than good. You wouldn't say this is good unless you felt something else was bad. Now, what is there in the light of God that is other than perfect? And therefore, everything is good in the light of God. Everything is perfect. And we lose the belief in material goodness and material evil because we don't believe in matter itself. If we do, we're not under the law of God. Again on page 59, the word I, and he puts that in quotes to mean the personal sense of I, the word I is the devil. The I that I call Joel, and the I that you call I, that I is formed by prenatal, family, and environmental influences. But when the transition in consciousness takes place and the personal I is absent, then germs, infection, tidal wave, war, and bombs no longer fill you with terror. And the reason they no longer have that power over you is because there is no I there. You see, all that remains in your consciousness when you're living in your finished kingdom is I am the light, where these things do not exist. And if they come into my experience, they are reminders to me that I have dropped the belief that I am the light, and I must get back to that belief. I must place my consciousness in the finished kingdom from morning to night. Go to bed, put your consciousness in the finished kingdom. Through the night it will be there. Wake up consciously, put your consciousness in the finished kingdom. I am the light. And watch how the light will express the fullness of divinity in your day going before you to make every place straight, harmonious, blissful, filling every single minute with an expectant joy that always expresses the Father's living presence. For the light is my name, and in my name whatever ye shall ask will be given unto you. Page 60. There is no more personal sense of self, because now, the vision of I am as God is revealed. There's but one infinite selfhood, one divine I, one infinite being, and I am that. Page 65. We hasten the day of our death to personal sense, and our resurrection to our divine sonship, as we consciously remember not to judge by appearances. You see, this is one step further. Not only are you not judging by appearances, you're placing your consciousness in the light of the finished kingdom here now. You're living in what is. You're not standing there saying, that isn't, that isn't, that isn't. You're knowing what is, and therefore everything that isn't hits the consciousness of what is. And this is the reconciliation, the transposing, the repentance, the redemption. Remember then, not to judge by appearances, by what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Instead, be still. And know that I am God. And on the basis of today's lesson, know that I am the living light living in the living kingdom of light now. And then listen to the judgment of God that is uttered within. And thereby, behold the universe as it is, in the image of God. Continuing on page 66, our experience is determined by whether we are living through personal sense or whether we are developing spiritual discernment. The world of the natural man is the world of human judgments based on appearances and the conditioned mind. The other world is the world that is revealed to us when we no longer form any judgments. We are constantly living between these two worlds. The world of appearances, and the world of spiritual recognition and awareness by dedication and by devotion. More and more of spiritual grace, more and more of the spiritual robe descends upon us and wholly envelops us. As we abide consciously in communion with our divine selfhood, all that the Father has clothes, feeds, houses us, governs, maintains, and sustains us. And listen to this, page 64. We surrender the personal sense of man rather than try to bring God's grace to the personal sense of man. Isn't that beautiful? How many worlds are there? Did you say two? No, you're wrong. The world of appearances is not a world. It is a world of appearances. It is a concept, a cosmic concept. The only world there is the kingdom of God. And if you're not living in it, you go on living in that concept. Now to clarify this, here we are on page 124 of Joel's book. Always bear in mind that there are not really two worlds. There is only one, the world that God created. Amen. And let us live in that world, the world that God created. We are now living consciously, by faith, in God's world, the world of perfection. The world which is the Lord's. And that is how you overcome personal sense. That is how you overcome the material sense mind. You are transposing, transforming, redeeming, reconciling, living by faith in the presence of the power of the life of the substance of the reality, of the here, now, finished kingdom of God. Harvesting by letting your consciousness be that through which the harvest flows. You find you are really living above mind in soul. This opens the buds of the soul. And then Moses and Elijah, truth and spirit, are merged into one active force in consciousness, and you are reborn. In the finished kingdom of God on earth, you are transfigured. You are ready to march into Jerusalem. And where did I see this? I think it was in Matthew. After the Master had said to his disciples, follow me, deny thyself, pick up thy cross. In 16 of Matthew, I'm quite sure verse 28. After you have done these things and living in self consciously, verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. Now that means that as you transfigure this world, as you live in the finished kingdom, as you come into the total realization that I am the light, only then can you be touched by what the world calls death. And as you know, there is no death in the light. You fulfill yourself. You abolish death. And you abolish every condition that could lead to death. Jesus was transfigured in their presence, not in the afterlife, but in this life. Here, now. They saw him before crucifixion, before resurrection, before ascension. And that is when we transfigure. Here, now. Before we ascend, we must transfigure. We must live consciously here, doing the Father's work by letting the light of our being enforce itself. The Father worketh, and I work hitherto. From this there comes a great and different sense of living. Gone is the quest for the world's admiration, the great personal triumph. Oh no. Here we attain a sense of deep inner peace. The assurance that the one divine being is. And this leads to my peace. That serene consciousness which can walk unafraid, untouched by world events, consciously knowing I am the light of God. Now, we are living before the world was. We are living at a higher level than the world of passing time. Our before the world was is not in time. It is in the eternal now of being. That which is my Father's house. Our faith is that God is all. That spirit is now without a material or human opposite. We are leaving our nets, breaking the fetters of materiality, living in our finished kingdom. Harvesting every tomorrow in the today of pure being. We have left this world. Are you afraid? Or are you truly that living disciple who walks in the light? Let us join hearts. Let us see ourselves in everyone. Let me look at you and know that your light and mine are the same. Look at your neighbor and know that her light and yours are the same. That one infinite light stretches beyond all that we know as this earth and encompasses all that we know as heaven, and that heaven and earth are one, pure, perfect light now. Transfigure this universe. Stand on your mountain. Know I am the light. For surely there stand those among us who in the realization of the light will never taste of death. Be that one. Be that son. Perfect now as the light of God. And let the blemishes of the world present themselves to your mortal mind in the knowledge that there is no power, no presence, no substance, no law, no reality to them. Not even to your mortal mind which perceives them. For your mind is being Christed. You are leaving the world of mortal mind, moving on the infinite sea of spirit, living consciously in your Father's kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven. This is our inner pledge, our inner conviction, our inner glory. This is why we are here. And in this work we shall fulfill ourselves in the divine image and likeness of God. Another meeting in June. On tape. Another meeting in July on tape. And then if we can, if you find the time, we'll meet in person in late July. Look for Richard's letter. It will contain all the facts you have to know about that July meeting. I hope you realize that this today is one of our most important meetings on tape. It is a turning, a vital turning, a great step in our understanding of the oneness of being. Much love, much gratitude, much peace, and blessings of the Father eternally.